It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. It is Tuesday. We are in Indianapolis. Dan Lobby with Mary Kay Cabot, Ashley Bastock. The Combine is underway. We heard from GM Andrew Berry today. We are going to hear from Kevin Stefanski on Wednesday. No big surprise. We didn't hear a ton from Andrew Berry, but we did cover a lot of topics with Andrew Berry. And the first one that I think we need to talk about, Mary Kay, is something you've reported in the past, but that Andrew confirmed. Deshaun Watson is going to start throwing. He didn't give us specifics. He said next month. The trick here is next month starts on Friday. So who knows? He could be throwing footballs by Friday. But the point is, he's going to start throwing here. We're about a month and a half from the start of the offseason program, a little farther away from on-field work. So there's still a lot of time here for him to really get up to speed. But obviously, kind of that big important step here in the rehab process.
Yeah, it is pretty big because you really want him to be throwing in the offseason so he can ramp up towards training camp and be ready to go. You want to be able to hit the ground running when they start training camp. So it's really a good sign. He's either on schedule or a little bit of ahead of schedule from what I can understand. And you know, I just think that it's going to help everyone for him to be able to be at this point. I talked to Elijah Moore on Radio Row at the Super Bowl, and he said he thinks that Deshaun might even try to gather the receivers together off-site somewhere and do one of their passing camps. So it's definitely a good sign for him to get throwing.
Yeah, I mean, Ashley, it's just the next check mark, right? And it's something we expected, but to actually have, you know, firmly this is happening, it's, you know, this is the process, and to check off these boxes, and this is probably the most important one.
Yeah, and I think it's a positive that they're getting there just because of what we've been talking about with this injury. There's not really a roadmap they can follow in terms of, like, I'm sure there's one internally, right, and marks he needs to hit, and they're monitoring his rehab in a certain way. But there's not another quarterback that we know of that we've been able to find. It sounds like that the Browns even have been able to find, because Andrew Berry didn't have an example when we asked him about that a few months ago, to model his recovery after. So I think it's a good sign that it's the spring, and you know, we're heading towards that offseason program, and he is able to take that next step after this injury that, you know, there's not really a comp for.
Now, Mary Kay, one of the things is they do need to find a balance. This was something that you, I think it was you that asked Andrew about this. Like, how do they, you've got a balance when he comes back, and obviously it's exciting. You want to roll out this offense. You want to see Deshaun in it. And certainly the coaches are going to want to work with him as much as humanly possible. But you also don't want a setback, because that would obviously be bad. So they are going to have to balance this. Hey, we want to put Deshaun out there. We want to let him loose. We want to let him be Deshaun. And Deshaun's going to want to be Deshaun. But somebody's going to have to be able to say, let's pull it back just a little bit. Let's cut back on some of those reps a little bit. Let's just make sure that, like you said, you are ready for training camp, because that's what really matters.
Yeah, you know, I think they are going to have to really walk that fine line between getting him ready, letting it rip, and do all those kinds of things. By the same token, when they get into the season, they're going to have to make sure that they are somewhat careful with him in terms of letting him run all over the place and sacrifice his body in the way that he does. Like you mentioned, Deshaun is not going to want to dial himself back. And is Ken Dorsey going to be able to help him with that? He is, in essence, his quarterback's coach. The good thing about Ken Dorsey is that he has coached two dual threat quarterbacks that leave it all out on the field in Cam Newton and Josh Allen. The thing about those guys is they're big linebacker size or even defensive end size guys to a certain extent, right? So they can take more of a hit. They can absorb more of a blow. With Deshaun, I do think there is going to have to be some thought given to making sure that he is at times careful. Because if you lose him again for any length of time, this is your huge investment. This is your $230 million, three first-round pick guy. Now, when I did ask Andrew about that today, he was like more the latter in terms of letting it rip. And he says, you know, we're not going to live in our fears. By the same token, you have to be smart about it. If you can slide, you got to slide. You know what I mean? Like, you've got, it's not going to be easy, but you just can't let him be running around like crazy and hope that he's going to make it through 17 games in the playoffs.
Yeah, and look, that's hard. I mean, just for Deshaun, that's hard. I mean, that's part of what I remember when they beat Alabama in the national championship game. That's part of what you loved about him, is just like that willingness to sacrifice everything to win that game. But, you know, look, when you're playing the Jaguars, and, well, I've said week two, but when you're playing the Jaguars and you're up by 10 points and it's the third quarter, it's probably okay to slide. So there's that. There's making sure you don't overdo it in the offseason program. There's still a lot of lines that they have to walk here with him.
Yeah, when Mary Kay was talking, I'm like thinking they might not want to live in their fears, but sometimes that's just like the smart thing to do given the circumstances. And I do think, you know, for the most part, the Browns do have struck me, you know, the last 3 years I've covered this team as a team that is pretty smart about handling guys' rehab and coming back from injuries. And I know, like, in recent years especially, the injuries may have been frustrating at times, but it doesn't seem like they've run into many issues with guys, like, getting re-injured or, like, stumbling in the rehab process. Like, that just hasn't seemed to happen here. So I have a feeling they know how to be smart about this already, but I will just add, like, the cautionary piece of it is I would even want them to be maybe more cautionary just, again, because there's not really an example that they can look at and say, okay, this guy did, you know, was back to throwing in X amount of time after suffering this injury and was taking, you know, hits at this amount of time. Like, they don't have that luxury right now. So I do think, like, that caution might be more valuable than even they are anticipating currently.
Okay, so let's talk real quickly about the quarterback who stepped in for Deshaun Watson and help lead this team to the playoffs, Joe Flacco. Mary Kay, it sounds like Joe Flacco is probably going to test the waters here a little bit in free agency, and he might not be the only one.
Yeah, you know, I've really been working the phones as much as I can and trying to figure out who is going to hit free agency and who has a chance to restructure before they get to that point. And from what I can gather, unless something changes in the 11th hour, two very big name guys. The biggest name guys on this list of free agents for the Cleveland Brown, Joe Flacco and Za'Darius Smith, are planning to test the free agent waters. They want to see what's out there for them on the open market. And it makes sense for them to do that, obviously. You only get so many opportunities to hit free agency and see if you can maximize your earning potential. Joe, of course, wants an opportunity to start. He didn't come off the couch to be Deshaun's backup. So he wants to see what he can find in that regard. And then Za'Darius, you know, he wants to set his price because the Browns, you know, they might not offer him as much as someone else might. So, you know, you really have to play that game of leverage. And so that's what some of these guys are going to do. And, you know, and they're, again, they're not the only ones. There are some that we can reasonably expect might not be back. You know, some of the defenders might not be back. They can't re-sign all of the defensive tackles that are becoming free. Harrison Bryant, he's going to test the free agent waters. But again, the two biggest names that will do this will be Joe Flacco and Za'Darius.
And yeah, I mean, like Mary Kay said there, Ashley, not a huge surprise necessarily, but, you know, I'm curious to see what Za'Darius's market is. This was sort of part of the trade, right? They gave him an opportunity to hit free agency a year earlier, so of course he's going to take advantage of that. And I really am curious if there is a Joe Flacco market. I think sitting and watching him here, you know, having that up-close experience, it was like, oh, of course, who wouldn't want this guy? But I do wonder if, you know, now that we're a few months removed, some teams might say, well, his completion percentage wasn't that great, and he did throw the two pick sixes or whatever. I would take Joe Flacco as a bridge, or if I needed a quarterback, I'd take a chance on him. But I think that's going to be a very interesting market.
I do too, and I think we saw this to a lesser extent last year. It was like almost the exact same scenario, except Jacoby Brissett wasn't like quite the comeback story that Joe Flacco was. But I think when Jacoby's time here came to an end, particularly, you know, once Deshaun's suspension was over and he was back to being a backup, like, it was just really obvious that he felt he had done enough, and I think he had, like, to test the waters and see if he could at least earn the chance to compete for a starting job. And he did do that, but he didn't win the starting job, and he didn't start any games this year. So I do think sometimes, we've talked about this before, like, the grass isn't always greener on the other side for those guys. I do think, you know, I am curious, like, how many opportunities are there going to be really, like, once kind of free agency shakes out a little bit. I'm curious to see where he lands, but I do think, you know, like you said, if there's that bridge opportunity somewhere, he is a really good guy to bring in if you, you know, have a rookie quarterback and want a mentor. Like, who better than Joe Flacco for that kind of job to me? So, like, I would, in some ways, you know, I would be surprised for him to be back here in Cleveland next year, but it, like, also wouldn't totally shock me if it ultimately shakes out that way. Like, there could be a future where that exists.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to turn into a travel pod on the other side here on the Orange and Brown Talk podcast.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm back on the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. Dan Lobby, Mary Kay Cabot, Ashley Bastock. We are in Indianapolis, day one of the Combine. We will talk to Kevin Stefanski on Wednesday. Today, it was Andrew Berry. So there's like three prongs to this travel thing. The first and the one we don't really need to talk about is Minnesota's coming for joint practices to Berea. There's two other key points here. The first, let's start with the one we know. Mary Kay, we are going back to West Virginia. We're going back to the Greenbrier. Don't have the dates yet or anything like that. I'm sure a lot of that's going to come out over the next, probably soon. But the Browns are going back to the Greenbrier. I'm not shocked by this because it worked. For whatever reason, now maybe it's a, I don't know if it's a chicken and egg thing. I don't know if it's, I'm going to pretend to sound smart, but this isn't really smart. If it's a causation versus correlation thing, but I don't know. They're going back to the Greenbrier. They're going to try this again.
Yes, they are. And we are going with them.
True.
So all day we've been planning our trip back to White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, and the little lovely town of Lewisburg, where we spent 10 days, or most of 10 days. So here we all go back to the Greenbrier, and, you know, it could be followed by a big trip to Brazil. So who knows where this is all going, but the Browns are going to be on the move again. And the good thing about them is that they travel well. They figured that out last year because they were always on the road. And they felt like it was a major reason they were so bonded as a football team. And I think they're trying to recreate that feeling of just being so together. And every year you turn over like 20 guys.
Yeah.
So I think they really feel like they need to like just hit the reset button and start over. So they're going to try to duplicate the euphoria of being at the Greenbrier. And we'll go from there.
Yeah, so you're right. There will be a lot of new faces. No roster is ever the same. I do wonder if there might be some of the holdovers who are like, oh, my God, we got to go there. Like, Joel Bitonio is going to have to go to his wife and say, hey, I got to go spend 10 days at the Greenbrier. I don't know if this experiment is going to work again, but I understand why they're doing it, Ashley, because we talked about this in our video. Like, every time we talked about, I remember after the Jets game, how many times did we hear the word Greenbrier after the Jets game when they clinched the playoffs? It was a gigantic deal to these guys, especially because the season went so well.
Yeah, and I was like kind of surprised about that. I don't know. And maybe my perception is clouded because I don't particularly enjoy like spending time in nature and doing all those things that we had to do when we were down there. So I was like, every time they'd bring the Greenbrier up jokingly in my head, I'd be like, gosh, I hate this is coming up organically because I'm going to have to do this again. But I do think that this was just headed that way because, like we said, this was not like these guys were getting questions like leading them to that conclusion, right? Like they weren't getting questions like, oh, did the Greenbrier help you bond as a team? They were saying things like, hey, a big part of why we bonded was because of that trip and because we had to spend 10 days together and only hanging out with each other. And I'm just not surprised that they're going there again, that they're doing this trip again. I do wonder though, like to your point, Dan, like how many times do you go on like an amazing vacation or something like, you know, as a normal person, right? This is something normal people can relate to. You go on an amazing vacation. You're like, gosh, I can't wait to go back there. And the second time you go back, it's not quite the same, right? Like something slightly goes wrong or it's not quite how you remembered it. It's not that same experience. Like I do think there is a slight danger here, but I'm with you. Like I'm not surprised they're taking this bet again that it's going to be good for bonding.
Yeah, I mean, and look, when Ashley says we were like one with nature out there, we were working in a tent with no indoor plumbing for a good portion of that trip. So we were kind of one with nature, surprisingly.
I'm more of a glamper than a camper for the listeners, like to give you that visual.
So, yeah, I mean, look, it's not going to be exactly the same, Mary. It just can't be. Like, it's not going to have the same impact on like Wyatt Teller or Joel or, you know, Miles or somebody like that. But you hope that maybe bringing in some fresh faces, some new blood, some guys that haven't been there, they kind of have that excitement. And I guess why not? And Kevin would not answer Greenbrier questions last year, but this is the NFL. Actions speak louder than words anyway. Clearly, he believes that it worked too.
Oh, he definitely does. I mean, when we left the Greenbrier, we knew already that we were all going back there. This time I will probably not bring all the resort clothing that I brought with me because I figured out, oh, we're not really at the resort per se, as far as the media is concerned. And we just laugh about that. It's just a funny little sidebar about this whole trip. But we'll get into that another day.
Wait, we have a long time talking about the Greenbrier now.
But yeah, so they're like I said, they're going to do that. And that is going to have them all singing Kumbaya together before they get on a plane, probably, and fly, whatever, 15 hours to Sao Paulo, Brazil, for the first game in South America. We don't know for sure yet. But the chances are very good.
Yeah, so let's talk about that too. That was the other thing I wanted to bring up. Andrew did not want to talk about it. I'm going to guess Kevin's not going to have a whole lot to say about it. Maybe we'll get to check off another bingo square. We did get to check off one today. If you missed that pod, go back and listen to it. It does really feel like... Ashley, it just feels like Brazil's going to happen. It's just all signs seem to be pointing to it. The fact that Andrew didn't just shut it down and wasn't like, oh, no, I don't think that's going to happen. Like, he entertained it enough that it feels like he kind of knows it's coming.
Yeah, like, it just, there's multiple things, I think. Like, you just know, like, if we talk about a vibes check, I think there's multiple things here that have been aligning that it just seems like it's going to happen. And I would probably be more surprised if it didn't happen at this point than if it did. But, like, there's also the fact that, hey, like, they're on the Jags schedule, too. And, like, that could be an international game, too, right? Like, it just feels like they are headed towards an international game one way or the other. And just, like, all the Eagles connections that they already have and how well they've traveled in the past. Like, that sort of stuff seems to be aligning for this historic international game. You know what I mean? Like, not just the London one, the historic one. It just wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I'll admit that we were Googling restaurants in Brazil last night. No surprise, a lot of restaurants in Brazil serve Brazilian fare, according to Google's search results. So that's a little trivia for you. I don't know.
But the Scott Petrak's joke, our friend Scott Petrak's joke, was in Brazil, they just call it fare.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. I missed that one. All right. But yeah, I don't know, Mary Kay. I don't know. I don't really know what to say about Brazil. It's my head is spinning.
Well, you know, the Spanish that I took in high school is not going to help me in Brazil because they speak Portuguese in Brazil. So initially I thought, oh, okay, you know, I might be all right here. Not that I remember that much of it. Quantos personas?
Wow.
I remember just enough Spanish. I took like 6 or 7 years of Spanish, and of course I retained none of it because like I never lived in a Spanish-speaking country. I never did any of that. I never studied abroad. But I know just enough Spanish to tell like a local person if I was in a Spanish-speaking country that my Spanish isn't very good anymore. Yeah. I know just enough to say that.
Yes. So any more Spanish because it's not going to happen.
We're going to do a Spanish language podcast at some point.
But we need to brush up on our own Portuguese.
We'll have to create Duolingo accounts.
I was just going
to
say Duolingo.
Yes.
Reach out.
Okay, this is going to really hurt the two achievers that I do this podcast with. I had to take 4 semesters of French in college to graduate with my English degree. I had to take 4 semesters, not like 2. Others, it was like 2, but no, I had to take 4 semesters, and what I landed on was French. I get to the 4th semester. I cannot speak French at all. I had not retained anything. I'm not good at foreign languages. And we take our final exam, or, you know, like our very last test. I just needed to pass the class. Me and a friend of mine go up to the professor and are like, so what's our grade now that we're kind of done? We had done the exam early. And she looks at us and she says, well, I'm sorry to tell you guys this, but you both have D's. And we like pumped our fists. We were so excited because all we needed to do was just get the credit. So yeah, I'm sorry if that hurts the two of you. I know that that is a foreign concept to both of you, but I do very poorly with foreign
literally
languages. I don't know
foreign,
why.
Literally this
a
time.
Foreign, yes.
A foreign concept.
Yeah, there we go.
We can use the word literally.
Yes.
Which, you know, we are sticklers for the word
literally.
Let's real quickly touch on and must wins. Let's real quickly touch on which the first game in Sao Paulo will not be a must win.
No.
Not
no.
be. Okay.
Not a must win.
Real quickly touch on this trade deadline thing. Andrew Berry pushing to have the trade deadline moved back 2 weeks. It makes sense. I've always felt like, I feel like the NBA trade deadline is too early, honestly. But, you know, look, Mary Kay, you can't know, I don't think you can know exactly what your team is after 7 or 8 games. I think you've got to get into November. And I think a couple extra weeks will open up some more players being available. And also will give teams maybe a little more, just those 2 games could make you say, you know what, we're going to go for it. So I think it's a good idea.
Teams can absolutely 100% turn everything around in the last 7 games of the season. And you don't know if you're ready to start chucking guys overboard or if you need to bring on some new talent. You don't know. So I think it's a great, great proposal by the Browns. I think it shows growth by them as an organization to make such a proposal. You know, you don't do that unless you're, you know, a veteran group ready to take on the NFL. So I think it shows a lot of initiative on their part.
And I've always felt like Andrew, not just Andrew, but a lot of younger GMs, 2 things. They grew up playing Madden, and they kind of grew up seeing, I think the NBA has a big influence on a lot of them because they've seen the player empowerment era. They've seen, you know, how aggressive NBA GMs have always been in trades. And I think Andrew falls into that as well. And so I think these guys, we've seen him be aggressive in the trade market in the off season. And I just think like wanting to use the trade market and wanting a few extra weeks in the season to use the trade market, it just makes sense to me. It's not surprising.
Yeah, think about like, I mean, I just think about in my time covering this team, like the trade deadline has been so boring. Like there's, you know what I mean? It's been so boring. And I think that's a big part of it is like it's so early in the season right now that these guys are hesitant to make like big splashy moves at that time. I mean, it's definitely struck me that way the last few years, and I do think it just makes more sense. Like, and yes, I cover the Browns, but like, it just seems like common sense to me, and I know it's their proposal, but it's like, why wouldn't you want this? Like, it just seems like such a benefit at this point for really everybody to do this, and it just seems like overdue. It's been over 10 years since the last time this happened, and you know, one of Andrew's points, he threw out all kinds of stats, including like when other leagues' trade deadlines are and things like that, to Dan's point. But a lot of teams, like the earliest teams are typically eliminated anymore, is like week 11. Like, yeah. That's, I mean, that's a long time late into the season that these, you know, teams being eliminated from playoff contention is even happening. So, yeah, it's like you don't even really have enough time to evaluate where you are, what you need, if you're willing to be a big seller during the trade deadline, like all that stuff would become more clear if you move it back.
Yeah, and I think just, I mean, there's so few games in the NFL. You just aren't going to get the separation you need to have the trade deadline at what is essentially before the halfway point of the season. So I'm all for it. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's like crazy because I remember one of our questions last week we talked about is like, when would you feel like you know like what the Browns offense is, right? And I think you and I, Dan, both said like mid-October. And the trade deadline is like less than 2 weeks after that. Like, that's so soon when you think about the season big picture.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up there. We will be back tomorrow after Kevin Stefanski speaks. We'll see what he has to say, if he has anything. Well, he's not going to say anything. But get that bingo card ready, because there's a couple Kevin Stefanski-isms on there too, I believe. But just make sure you're following us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Search Orange and Brown Talk. Find us on Instagram, Orange and Brown Talk. Find us on YouTube. Search Cleveland Browns on Cleveland.com. And become a Football Insider subscriber. Head to Cleveland.com/Browns and click the blue banner at the top of the page. For Mary Kay and Ashley, I'm Dan. Thanks for listening, everybody.